shall we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence. We know that this is true and it does not depend upon feeling, sensation, or reasoning, but upon vindication, the actual fact that you are the same yesterday and forever, and manifested yourself according to truth, which we find in your holy word here, which cannot be corrupted by man, though many men have tried it by translations, interpretations, and dissection, and actually a vivisection. We know that to be true, but you're standing true, Lord, with us today, and we're trying to stand true with you, and by grace given by you to us, we will stand true with you, that no matter what happens, no matter comes, Lord, squeeze this or that, we will be able to take the brunt of it because we've been counted worthy to suffer for you and with you. And may that continue with each and every one here to take up the cross and follow you until the time of the glorification. So we commend ourselves to today for further study and learning of your word. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, before we read again from this message, it is well to not only refresh our memories, but reaffirm and strengthen the indisputable fact that Brother Branham was not merely a prophet of the stature usually given people or prophets in both Old and New Testament, but he was a vindicated prophet revealer of the word, and not only that, but a judgment prophet as well, who prophesied a present and shortly future judgments to come, which would end in complete destruction. Now, you know what I'm saying there, that Brother Branham was not simply a fivefold minister. Neither was he one like Samuel, though he is one like Samuel, according to the third chapter in the book of Acts, because Samuel was not a word prophet, as was Moses, and yet he was a part of that same word and a prophet in the mold of Moses, insofar that there was no way that Samuel could have been outside of the word, the true revelation, for one moment. He was certainly one who kept bringing the people back to the prophet Moses and his God-given word position. So Brother Branham is the same. And we find that not only in the book of Acts, but there's Brother Branham quoted many times, quoting Samuel from the book of Kings and Chronicles. He said, "When have I ever told you a lie? When have I ever made a mistake? When have I ever taken your money or led you astray?" Which was exactly true. Then he further amplified that on the grounds that he was associated with Paul and yet disassociated as to which one had which ministry. And he said, just think how wonderful the same pillar of fire that brought the word to Paul is here revealing it. So Brother Branham never ever considered himself to be a prophet as Moses and Paul, in the sense that the word of God came to him in particular as that revelation which was primary or alpha and would supersede any revelation and take authority over any revelation whatsoever that would follow, even judging those that were false prophets and false teachers and so on. He understood his position exactly, and of course he is that one in the book of Acts wherein God glorified William Branham and himself by the great ministry of John 12 and 14, which is one of vindication. And then Brother Branham was able to go to the book of Acts, the third chapter, and tell us definitely that he was the one to bring us restoration of that word. And those who did not believe in that word, as Brother Branham correctly said, everything outside of this message is death, which is the opposite to what he really said. It's the same thing. He said nothing outside of this message will come to light. So therefore, he pronounced a second death to the world and to the people. Now, you must never forget that. See, let's put it this way. I don't study very much. I'm nervous. My wife comes first above everybody. We run three times a week, 130, 140 miles. Our lives are completely irregular and disoriented. Yet during the week, my thoughts come. And those thoughts are never outside of the scripture, outside of what Brother Branham taught, never outside of reality. And it came to me this week, there is a great letdown. amongst the people not understanding that Brother Branham is a judgment prophet as well as a revealer word prophet. See, this is where the Pentecostal, led by Mr. Pentecost himself, came against Brother Branham when he got smeared across the road. Like my good friend in New York, he's not so much of a friend, I never did consider him that great because I knew he was more mouth than anything. Pardon me for my hard expression, but look, merciful God, that's the way it is. Paul, Peter said, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God are. Sit down and shut up and listen. If you can't say what God said, don't say it. If you can't say what the prophet said, don't say it. See? Now, William Branham was definitely a judgment prophet as well as a word revealer prophet. And as my friend so-called considered himself a prophet, so going to the Shmerish prophets across the road. I said he fed them to the lions and they were dung on the face of the earth. Now if you can't come and stand with me, let me tell you something. You ain't even... Because I'm low man. If you have less integrity, you don't have any. If you're not less trustworthy, you're a thief. Now you say, what are you trying to tell us? I'm trying to tell you something. This is not my message. I'm not vindicated. But I'm certainly spiritual-minded enough, not reasoning-minded enough, because I don't reason these things. They come to me exactly as it's in the prophet's message and the Word of God, and I'm telling you what I've told you before, that William Branham is a prophet revealer of the Word, and he said a prophet doesn't only foretell, he foretells, he is a revealer. And that's exactly what Samuel was to Moses. Although Samuel lived many years later, and that's exactly what William Branham is to Paul. That's what William Branham said on the tape given to me and spread around the world now. He declared himself with Moses and Paul because God does everything in threes. Like I showed you by scripture, Brother Branham didn't say it, but it's right there. Brother Branham literally did say it when he said in 1 Corinthians 13, the love was God being the Holy Spirit. And he denied that God was omnipresent. He confirmed what the Presbyterians say, that God is not present to all things, but all things are present to God. Leaving, therefore, God in a twofold instead of a threefold. Omnipotence, omniscience, right? And what's the third one? Love. Well, thank you. I got a few responses. Love. That's his essentiality of his nature. What good would be omnipotence and omniscience without love? Tyranny, the devil. Now, just study the devil and see what he's done over all the years, and you'd see exactly God without essentiality. You can see omnipotence, thou sealest up the sum of wisdom. Who is more powerful than, not more powerful, who is next in power to God when we place him in the world of events and current things? Now, Jesus is just an intercessor. He's not ruling right now. He's coming in Revelation 19 with a rod of iron. But he's not right now, the man. So we're looking at God. We're looking at the devil. And who is in the driver's seat? The prince of the power of the air. Even archangels did not dare dispute with him. So who's running everything? The devil. Okay. Exactly as Moses and Paul, his message was one of both redemption and judgment. And as I showed you in Acts 3, when the word is restored, then everyone that does not come under the Spirit of God in that particular dispensation which is now, will be utterly destroyed, which is Malachi. Right? Thank you. So I don't ask you to holler amen and run around and do a jazz hoop deal. But I expect you to be alert and know this word. I wouldn't be wasting my time, don't worry, if you didn't. But the point is, you should know. Now, let's just begin to see this prophet. And let's begin to see some of our positions in it and where we stand with this great message. So we go to the book of Exodus, the seventh chapter, after God has thoroughly equipped Moses to be what he is supposed to be. Now Moses begins to turn up the volume on his inabilities. his complexes, his inferiorities. He begins to see himself in the position that God gave him and to do things that God told him to do, and he just doesn't really believe that God is in him as he is in the prophets, and essentially Jesus Christ, but not in that terrific manifestation and that elevation. And so he begins to wonder, when can I do this very thing? So, in 6 and 28, he says, it came to pass in the day when the Lord spake unto Moses in the land of Egypt. Now, there he is getting his ministry in line. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I am the Lord. Speak thou unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, all that I say unto thee. And Moses murmured. He said, behold, I am on circumcised lips, and how shall Pharaoh hearken unto me? He said, I'm not going to cut much of a swath, if any swath at all. How will he listen? Now watch what is comes up. Thou shalt speak all that I command thee. Thou shalt speak unto Pharaoh, that he shall send the children of Israel out of the land. Now watch verse 1, which I skipped. The Lord said unto Moses, see, I have made thee a god to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. All right, when God made Moses a prophet unto Pharaoh, and this is exactly why Brother Branham called Pharaoh Pastor Pharaoh. Two great religions. The Egyptian religion, which is the forerunner of the Babylonian, the head of gold. Because if you read Hyslop's Two Babylons, when's the new, where's the other one? Huh? Well, the other one, we better buy another one because I don't want my teeth going on. So, all right. Brother Branham said that Moses was a pastor over Pharaoh, and he has to be because he's a prophet to Pharaoh. And he called him pastor, making him the titular head of not only the government, but of the religion. And the Egyptian religion predated the Babylonian religion. Now remember, Israel was a place wherein Egypt was a place wherein Israel was nourished for 400 years, even though under duress and sometimes under literal terrible oppression and depression, and yet they were harbored and nourished there until they became literally a multitude. In other words, they became positionally by recognition of their numbers to truly represent God and the people of God at that particular time. Now, Brother Branham himself then referring to Pastor Pharaoh, he is now referring to the end time where he himself became God to the entire world system and structure of religions, which religions positively stem from Moses or the Israelites and the Egyptians. Even as it's found in Time magazine, which I have the copy at home somewhere, the sheet, that every single Protestant denomination, even the Pentecostals, every single one has stemmed from Rome. Brother Branham made that statement without having one bit of proof, but knowing the Word of God, and God was himself proof to William Branham because he gave him the truth. And then later on, a man named Brother Lawrence Dale said, Lee, let me show you something. He gave me out of Time magazine the exact lineage and ancestry of every single people. And the Mormons can say what they want, but they came out of Methodism. And the Seventh-day Adventists can say what they want, but they also came out of Methodism. So did Jehovah's Witness, and so did the so-called Christianity of the Christian Scientists from the face of the man, which started with Luther. So we see all these things transpiring where Brother Branham has every right by Scripture to say what he said because this is the end time. This is the final calling out of the bride, the people of God, from organization. So, we read in here then, Moses said, see, God said to Moses, see, Moses, I have made thee a god to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. Now you notice the brotherhood was there. You follow me? The brotherhood was absolutely there, and we cannot deny it for one single solitary moment. Now Moses is a type of Jesus Christ. Because the Bible distinctly says, Moses himself talking, the Lord your God shall raise up a prophet like unto me, and him you'll hear in all things. And those of you who do not hear, you will be destroyed. And you notice the utter destruction has a twofold meaning, because at the time that Jesus came on earth, they were not utterly destroyed. It is only the time that God himself appears in the form of human flesh once more, manifests and expresses himself according to the book of Matthew, the 12th chapter, and also the book of John, chapter 14 and 12, that we have this great and potential and final demonstration of the wrath and judgment, ferocity of Almighty God, as he will destroy every single person outside of this message, the foolish virgin already having been disposed of or will be disposed of. Now you can say what you want. Anything you say contrary to that statement will be antichrist in my books, because I'm giving you flat, outright what Brother Branham said and taking you right to Scripture. And remember, the firstborn of everyone at the time of Egypt that was not bride, but firstborn. Now get this flat, firstborn, died. In other words, the strength, because the firstborn was the strength of the father. In other words, the lineage was carried on. So there's coming a time at the end time that the firstborn, which means every single one that came down from Rome and now had their own religion and all things that pertain to them, the life was completely cut off and their existence was gone. They would be seen no more on earth because the progeny at the end time are destroyed. So we have a judgment prophet on hand. Now remember, he said, as I said here, that Aaron is the brother. Now I'm going to get ahead of myself, but it doesn't make one bit of difference where I put it in, because it simply does not matter. We go to Hebrews, the second chapter. It's better I put it in here than later. So I may repeat it. And in Hebrews, the second chapter, we find distinctly in verse 10, and became him from whom are all things and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. For this cause he not ashamed to call them brethren. So we have here, this is only to the brethren. And you notice the firstborn of Israel, had they not paid attention to this which Moses brought forth, they would have died. And so will every single bride die if they don't pay attention. But at the end time, they do pay attention. Because there's no corruption of seed. Now, Brother Branham brought out the corruption of seed at the very time. He said, what if they said concerning Moses? And he said, you must slay a lamb, and you must put the blood upon the doorposts and the lintels. And those that do that are free. In other words, there's a continuity of life, and they will see their children in the millennium the same as Moses. And he said, you apply that token. And some of the people said, oh yes, that's a good thing to do. Then why don't you do it? And he talked about one woman, say another woman. Oh, let's go to the dance tonight. And she said, no, I cannot go. I do not dare leave this home. I am under the blood. And those that said, oh, let us join the dance and let us go to the world and let these things not really matter. We can have a good ecumenical society. We can show our love and everything else. Hallelujah. They die. Because it was not the blood that really counted, it was the intrinsicality of the blood, which was simply a chemistry showing that you were part of the intrinsicality. If you didn't apply the blood new positivity, you didn't have the life. Because the blood showed the life had gone, and you accepted the life by showing the blood. And let's face it, any genuine child of God that is not born, reborn now, but is actually a seed, and that seed receives the Holy Ghost, it shows you positively the blood has been applied. But until the baptism with the Holy Ghost, you cannot actually claim the blood has been applied. You just believe it because you walk in the steps of justification, and that's as far as you go, and maybe a little sanctification, but you haven't gone on. That's where the foolish virgin come in here. But I wanted to bring this to your attention. All right. He calls him Pastor Pharaoh. Now remember, Brother Branham also said Elijah was pastor to Ahab. And who was Ahab? Ahab was a master of deceit who had the complete word of Almighty God surrounded and mixed with the religion of the Babylonians, which came right down from Egypt. So there he stood after Solomon messed up. Now remember, David did not marry wives outside of Israel as far as I know. I can't remember any history concerning it. But it was Solomon, the wisest man of all. Now notice where your wisdom goes. If you don't have the general down in the roots, down from your socks up or your head all the way down, you can flounder and make a mess up. And this guy began to marry foreign wives, and what did he do it for? In order to make a truce, a political endeavor to keep what he had. That's why people organize. Well, we're going to keep the baptism just nice. Everybody's got to speak in tongues. Everybody got to sign the line. I'm a Trinitarian. Everybody do this. You nothing got a political alliance. That's all you've got. God does not care for political alliances because he rules all the armies in the heavens and the earth, and he does what he wants to do. So he ain't going to twist God's arm to make him believe what you believe. Hogwash. There's not a chance and there's not a prayer. All right, now the main thing, trust, I'm looking at is this. William Branham and Moses and Paul were absolute God to the people. No longer were they simply prophets. And you know why? Because they fulfilled to the letter. And the only ones I know that do this, he said, God said, if I have a prophet, there be one among you I've sent. I will deal with him in dreams and visions. But my servant Moses is not so. So he wasn't just a prophet. He was a servant prophet of a higher order. And he said, I will speak to him even apparently, not in dreams and visions, but face to face and manifest myself so that he sees me and can see me and will see me. And that's where you get the story of the burning bush that nobody else could see but Moses and Brother Branham see the pillar of fire upon the wall, but the camera catches. Now, Paul was the same way. If you think he wasn't, I want to ask you a question. Who struck him down the road to Damascus? And when he said, Lord, recognizing the mastership of whoever it was that struck him, had authority and power over him. And he said, who are you, master? Well, he said, I'm Jehovah. Oh, God, this can't be. This can't be. I'm his foremost runner. He said, Paul, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. Took him out in the desert, spoke face to face and mouth to mouth with him. And he literally became God. Literally. Now you're going to tell me that Moses had a brother, a kinsman brother, and William Branham and Paul didn't have him? Who did Paul have? Take a guess. Was it maybe Barnabas? No. Could have been Silas? No. Son Timothy. Now let's go to scripture here. Now this is Lee Dale talking. I believe I'm right. You don't have to believe this. Do what you want with it. Who cares? Revelation chapter 10. God comes down, confronts the prophet face to face, and indwells the prophet. And notice in verse 7 of Revelation 10, you've read the other verses many times, I won't read them again. But in the days of the voice of the seventh church age messenger, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God, as he hath delivered the good news of the gospel to the prophets, shall be finished. It's over. Because that's what it says. Now watch. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake again unto me again and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel that standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. Go and take out that book of redemption. What does it mean now? This man is now responsible for every single bride and every single foolish virgin and every single man on the earth. He's got authority over them.
That's why he could say, I take over this whole audience, authority in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and 5,000 or 50,000 or a million could not hide if they tried. I want you to see the stature of a prophet and then start grumbling.
Well, what about you, brother? I grumble too. To behold him is God. How often in Florida the cults came to my meetings because I would discern and do those things I shouldn't do. They flocked in. And one woman, she said, I could see Jesus stand behind the curtains, just waiting. I said, if that was Jesus, you'd be crawling under the tile on the floor. William Branham, like a hunted animal when the pillar of fire appeared in the wall to show him something. Hallelujah, Jesus. You want me to jump and shout and scream and hang on the chandeliers like Pentecostals? That doesn't mean one thing if you disrespect the prophet, not as God. Oh, I can't take that. Certainly you can't take it. You think I stand up here and fight it? Just ease you. The breeze is going, and by the day it just succumbs to everything. I fight! The fight is within. It's not with you. People, many think it is. My fight's not with these guys out there. Forget it. My fight is within, that I stand true to this word no matter what they do. William Branham was God to the people. Now, what about the next part? Aaron the brother, he became the prophet of God. The man who was God to the people. We're reading it. Let's keep reading it. He opened the book and he took the book of redemption and nothing outside of William Branham's message. Because we're in that message, we're part of it, and we see our names there. And we have proof that we are, because we believe every single word. Live, die, sink, or swim, it doesn't matter. Everything's in his hands. I've got nothing more to do with it now. I went to the angel, and he said to me, give me the little book. And I said to him, give me the book. And he said, take, eat it. It shall make thy belly bitter. It'll be in thy mouth sweet as honey. What did Brother Branham talk one day about going out to eat? He said, I'm eating just fine. Spiritual food in due season, honey from the book. Now, watch. And he ate it up. And it was in my mouth sweet as honey, and as soon as I'd eaten it, my belly was bitter. What's the belly? The inner man. Right down in the depth of you. The ancients had a term for it. They called it the second brain, or the mind, which is in the solar plexus area. This book is not without some type of dilution or perversion in every single person in this world. You know why? Because at one time, though handed down for 6,000 years in many generations, God had revealed himself, and by nature they know there is God. That is why scientists today are natural brute beasts, and those that follow them are the same order, because they have no conscience, they have nothing. Their souls are completely demonic in the sense of the fact they are nothing but animals. Now, they're not demonic in just the fact that they are essentially natural animals. They are demonic in the fact they have a smart brain and a cunning brain, and they absorb everything the scientist says. And every book you pick up, it's always, oh, here's a picture now of the dinosaur and its eggs, and that goes back millions of years in evolution, and we're all apart. Well, they are, but I'm not. Brother Branham explained evolution. There's no problem there. The evolution absolutely has nothing to do with that junk there. The evolution is starting with the low structure. The highest structure is man. Everything was here upon earth before man came here. So he's part of that evolution. He is part of the animal kingdom in that particular regard, because his body came out of dust the same as theirs. There's nothing that hasn't come out of the dust. Tell me something hasn't come out of the dust. Go ahead. You're crazier than a hoot owl. Well, an owl is smart alongside you. Forget it. Let's keep reading. This message is bitter in that extent. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. Now take that back to Aaron. When did this message really go out to the world?
when the little brothers, the little Aarons, took over the ministries and began spreading it all over the world. Otherwise, you tell me how this is fulfilled. You get your types and you go back to your alphas, because I go back to every alpha. Okay. Remember, when Paul gave his charge, he did not give a charge to the Ephesian church. He merely wrote them. The only charge, and I understand, he ever actually gave was to Timothy. So we see God talking to his sons. And we see God talking to the world through a fivefold ministry, which many preachers don't believe in. Even some of my closest associates and ministers behind my back, they say, well, did anybody really hear Brother Branham, or is it on tape, what Brother Bale says that Brother Branham said about him? And then behind my back, they say, well, presence, he's always been here, and yet talk with me intelligently, smartly, with the word. Bitter in the belly, but sweet in the mouth. No sweeter words can anybody say than this message, because they alone have life, but they'll bring you bitterness. They'll bring you hurt, they'll bring you sorrow. But I don't mind anymore. Doesn't really matter. But I'll still be a thorn in people's eyeballs. You know why? They ask for it. In 2 Kings, the 17th chapter, beginning at about verse 11, I believe it is, you will find, and we better go there because I want to show you this, because this to me is important or I wouldn't bring it out. I don't want 2 Kings. Is this him? Let me get it. If I can't, then I'm just going to tell you what it is. We got Elijah here. Sometimes I make some boo-boos, and this could be one of them. I don't see it here, but because I've made a little mistake on putting this note down, let me tell you about it. The fact of the matter is, concerning Elijah, the prophet, the woman's son dies, and she calls upon him, and he comes in, and he raises a child from the dead. And then she identifies him very, very thoroughly as concerning the fact that he is the great prophet, and he is the one actually who is doing these things from Almighty God. Now, the next chapter we go into, which we'd go into, would be that where Elijah himself is dealing with the prophets of Ahab and the prophets of Baal. And at that particular time, he is challenging them that to bring forth the evidence which will show that they have the authority, that they are actually God to the people, that they are those emissaries, and they are those ones that are actually doing those very things. And I found it here. I've been messing up on this. 1 Kings 17, chapter 24. And the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and the word of the Lord is in thy mouth is truth. And so she knew by vindication this was a vindicated prophet. And over here in 1 Kings, not 2 Kings, the 17th chapter, now the 18th chapter, is where, 18th chapter, and it's verse 3. No, we got to go on further than that. You go right down to the prophets of Baal in 33, and he put the wood in place and the bullocks, the barrels of water, and even in a time of drought. And you notice that the living water was there in the time of drought in our day, because we were in a complete drought. You say, why? Because our wretched, miserable, naked, and blind, and he's got everything in divine order, making it your way. And so everything is in order. The bullock's there. And he says in 37, "Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God and hast turned their heart back again." In other words, something would be done, even though it would not be on the monumental scale that this verse sounds as though it is. But you'll notice what happened then. The fire came, ate up even the rocks, and then is what Elijah said, "Take all the prophets of Baal, don't let anyone escape, and kill them." Now this is where Elijah comes in again. Where the word of the Lord, which has come forth by God himself, and a man being God to us, and a faithful fivefold ministry, no matter what it is, of the five, it matters not, because they are the ones, it doesn't say the prophet now, it says they are the ones that bring the church to full fruition. And so therefore they become the prophets to the world. They're not prophets, but they become a prophet. What exactly was Aaron? He was a priest. That's what he was. And so you have a fivefold ministry according to the fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians who do this very thing. And there is a bride today that is coming up to the full manifestation in the sense of what God wants in this earth. Now, God has been already manifested. God has vindicated himself. He's vindicated the prophet. He's vindicated the word. Therefore, we stand vindicated. We have nothing to prove. All we do is go through this message. And if this message doesn't do it, then forget it. And don't you try to do it. Many times I've overstepped my bounds by trying to be nice to people and help people. Well, Brother Branham did the same thing, but he had God helping him do it, which I don't have that very thing being done to me. But so there you see now where we stand and why I am talking the way I'm talking from the sermon. Now, of course, we know that none of the religions of the world believed he was a prophet vindicated for this hour, or that he had any right to judge, though like Elijah, he challenged the heathen. Now, that was in India. They were all there. And he said, "Come on, just like Elijah, you get this man now." Elijah said, "Bring down fire from heaven, take the sacrifice." William Branham didn't need to do that. He was already vindicated. Elijah's vindication came at that moment of the showdown. Brother Branham said, "There is a Mount Carmel showdown today, and the next one is Mount Zion, the rapture." And what was that Mount Carmel? That Mount Carmel took place in India, and it took place in Chicago. And the Chicago was where they turned down the word of the prophet teaching one God. He said 47 or 50 people that said, "We're going to come down and get baptized." When he came down and told me, she said, "Bill, you know ain't none of them coming." Poor old Brother Branham got kind of upset for a lack of faith. And I crowned it by putting my ace on top. And I said, "Bill, you know none was going to come down." Why was I pessimistic? I'm a pessimist. Should make us very optimistic. But how can you be optimistic when they turn down the judging word? Jesus was a judge because God made him a judge. Why? Because he was a prophet. Everybody wants to... Israel didn't like the idea of a prophet. You know, the Protestants and the Christians don't like the idea that he was a prophet. I don't care if he was the Son of God. That's beside the point. The prophecy was, "God will raise up a prophet like unto me." Grab onto that. If it so happens he's the Messiah at the same time, it simply means this: without being a prophet, he couldn't be the Messiah. Huh. Well, do you think David was prophet king? Huh? It has to be that way. God in the prophets. And he takes the book, purges his old inner man, bitter, because hyssop is a purger. Bitterness is a purger. You want your liver cleansed? Don't eat sweet stuff. Eat bitter stuff. You'll have a good clean liver. Well, unless you take some stupid like arsenic or something. I'm not talking about killing yourself. I'm talking about bitter herbs. Why do they have bitter herbs at the sacrifice? Cleanser. There's a psalmist said, "Cleanse me with hyssop." It's a bitter thing. Didn't Brother Branham weep about being rejected by his peers and everybody else when he was a kid? because of drunkenness. I saw him weep in Portland, Maine, when Oral Roberts came on the screen, but thousands and thousands in the tent. He looked at it, and I saw tears form on his eyes. He said, Lee, I could have had that too. You think he didn't miss it? You think there wasn't a temptation? Oh, when the devil came to Jesus and said, all these things I'll give you. And if you worship me, worship, worship, worship. That's the key word, worship. Get thee behind me, Satan. Nothing to it. You got to be sick. Didn't he pray in the garden, let this cup pass if it could be thy will? Nevertheless, that your will, we're going to go through it because I've got the strength from you, even though I'm left alone here now, deserting the Garden of Gethsemane. Brother Hall preaches humanity. He didn't hit it the way I'm hitting it today, but he hit the truth. He was a human being. He became a human being. You and I are human beings that one time recited in glory and clapped our hands and shouted and danced before God and the holy angels and the archangels and worship. But we can't remember any of those things. Oh, Brother Bill, I can't take that. Well, don't take it. Who asked you to take it? Huh? Who gives a rip? That's your business, not mine. The origin of the world came. Brother Branham said, here's this blind man looking at the sun. He's a sun worshiper. He's one of you guys. This is what happened under your religion. This is what it amounts to. Destruction of flesh. And Jesus said, fear him and could destroy body and soul in hell. Never mind the body. Now this man's got a soul. Who's going to help? Challenge you. Come forth in the name of your God and make this man whole. Oh, he said, you were pretty vociferous a little while ago. How come you're so strangely quiet? Come on. And he said, let me do it. And you know what happened when they did it? Let me tell you something right now. They didn't give 2 cents about the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They knew that God was in William Branham, the same as they believe God is in the Dalai Lama and everybody else. And they ran to Brother Branham to grab him and touch him, and that was going to do it. They recognized God in a man. What are the Protestants and the Christians doing? I want to challenge you. Oh, how I love Jesus. That's what they thought they did, but they didn't. They loved the Jesus of their imagination. They had caricatured him into nothingness and into oblivion. But they crucified themselves when they did. Yes, he proved his vindication. Of course, we know that none of the religions of that time in India or the time of Elijah, because the prophets of Baal were all there, all the religions were there, all religions, yep. Talked about God and all of the world, believed he was a prophet, vindicator of the hour, or that he had any right to judge. And they, like Elijah, were challenged because they were... Elijah challenged the heathen. Yet, at the same time, over 2 billion, if not 3 billion, believed in God and a prophet. That's what we're looking at. And yet, actually, all believed in a prophet because they talked about the spirits of their ancestors coming down. If that's the case, then they were prophets to the people. Now, here we are again. Now listen. Yet at the same time, over 2 billion, if not 3 billion, believe in God and prophets. That's at this time. And we're talking now in a better intrinsic sense than these out here that just believe in a court of a splish-splash. Though no one since the time of Paul had any vindicated authority for his words or deeds, and over 99 and 99% of the entire world population have their creeds and dogmas and tenets and stand by them for and not only by them but for them. So it is easily seen that all but one religion is of the people, by the people, and for the people. And it is even better stated, of the devil, by the devil, and for the devil. As the prophet said, these people are nothing but natural brute beasts and are going to be atomic bomb fodder. So, the total representation of the world has been met on a second Mount Carmel, and we're waiting now for Mount Zion, which is the rapture.
Now, as a revealer of the word and one entrusted to pronounce judgment by God, he declared by vindication that this is the end time of all things and the last church age, the last period of salvation, the coming of the Antichrist with world dominion after the appearing of Christ and his resurrection and rapture, the resurrection and rapture, which is the appearing has already taken place. We're waiting for the resurrection and rapture. And in the last week's reading, we found Brother Branham declaring as a judgment prophet, using the words of Hosea, that the church had sown to the winds and was now reaping the whirlwind, which is actually a hurricane. And the word whirlwind or hurricane is derived from the same root word that they now take in the Bible and call the Red Sea. And the Red Sea, I understand, is called the Red Sea because the red reeds were there and it looked like red. But you'll notice it was a place of victory for the bride going through declared righteous. The waters of separation wherein she was with the Word and the rest who claimed to be, in a sense, trying to overtake them, to destroy them, and put themselves in preeminence ahead of God. Already God's vindicated himself. And ahead of the people of God were destroyed. So there is also then, as I've said it every single time, there is redemption and judgment and destruction. And remember the going of the Moses bringing the people to that juncture is what Brother Branham has done today. And we have a Red Sea experience and we have a whirlwind experience. We have a hurricane experience. Because that is what has happened. Because Brother Branham declared in this hour of the separation of the wheat and the tares, which he did, this is what his parable is all about, and bringing on the judgment of complete annihilation and burning, which is going to happen. You see, he was that judgment prophet judging the world, and he was absolutely God to the world. Now, I want you to notice that. He was God to all these people out there more so than he was God to us on the grounds that they were getting judgment. But we were getting grace. And that's exactly the God that appeared to Abraham. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Will he destroy the righteous with the wicked? In no way. That's been our promise. That's the way it always is. And Elijah only came to make ready the prepared people. There was no judgment given us. We were avenged. We stood before him. And the judgment was ours. The perfect, righteous, sinless bride of the Lord Jesus Christ didn't even do it in the first place. You're a trick. It's over. But the judgment of God stands sure and fast at this hour. So we see this whirlwind that Brother Branham mentions is the end time, and his judgment on one hand, deliverance on the other. Now as we looked into that, we went to Matthew 7, 24 and 29. And we saw that if you build your house a certain way, which is upon the sand, the winds will come and the whole thing will collapse. Why? Because the foundation is wrong. It doesn't have the thing to do and worry about the superstructure. It doesn't worry about what's going to happen. It worries about that foundation. In other words, if you are off on the Alpha, you are going to be destroyed in the Omega, which is that foundation upon which you built. You say, Brother Bill, I really do believe that the superstructure is the thing that counts. You've got to be crazy in a hoot owl. Pardon me then, Brother Hoot Owl. I don't mean to dishonor you. In other words, you are completely gone. Do you not know that the stone that they rejected became the cornerstone, and the cornerstone is now waiting as a capstone? We rise to meet him in the air. But the capstone of the whole thing is the cornerstone of the whole thing, which is Elohim himself, the Word, Rhema Logos. And every brick from that point on has got to be sure and secure. Therefore, let the winds blow upon that tabernacle built by God. Let the floods do anything they want, it's going to stand. Why? Because we have the original once and for all faith delivered unto the saints and vindicated by a man right here. There is no bride going to fall or ever will fall because she meant not to fall. Because she's built upon the vindicated revelation of Almighty God. Now I told you, remember that portion there was preceded by the word therefore. So it says therefore. What did the therefore come from? Many people come in that day and say, Lord, Lord, we're not prophesied. Didn't we have gifts? Didn't we do this? Didn't we do the other thing? You say, I never knew you. Where did that come from? That came from false prophet. What is a false prophet?
He's a man that has signs and wonders that follow the word to fool you. He's not the man that had the signs and wonders, the vindication of thus saith the Lord, that what I'm going to give you is the word, so shut up and sit down and listen. No, no. They're the Corridates and the Byrons. Sure they are. They're the ones that pervert the given word of Moses. They're the ones. And in our day, we already had a perversion. They said the gifts, the restoration of gifts was the restoration of the word and the Holy Ghost and all the things Elijah must bring, but it wasn't. That's why Deuteronomy 13 is placed ahead of Deuteronomy 18. If it isn't, I guess I'm wrong. Why would God come along and talk about these false ones and then talk about the real one? And then in Numbers come along and talk about the super one, Moses. And Moses wrote it all. You know why? Personally, it has to do with the Alpha and Omega situation of this hour. Balaam was already prophesying before Moses came on the scene. And these Pentecostals were already prophesying with their gifts and all before Brother Brennan comes on the scene. I'm like one born out of due season. Not born in 1906, but 1909. I could have been born before, but like Paul, born out of due season. And so here they are with all this false, not false manifestation, genuine manifestation, but a bunch of goats handling it. And Brother Branham comes on the scene and takes the book of Revelation and said, "You're wretched, miserable, naked, blind." Oh, they said, "Shut up and sit down, you big mouth, stupid jerk. Just because you got a gift that supersedes anybody else's gift, and you got thus saith the Lord, and you can discern. Don't tell us we don't know. You're a prophet then, but you're not a prophet with a word. We are." And he's God to them. Shut up, God! And our word, the word that God gave him is our prophet. And that becomes part and parcel of your soul and your body, your mind rather, soul, spirit, and mind. You've got everything that God wants from you. You become a prophet through every single person. Not that you are a prophet. I am a prophet, I teach. You enter the prophet class, children of the prophets. If you're a child of God, aren't you a lesser God? If you're a child of the prophet, aren't you a lesser prophet? Well, you say, no, I don't believe that, but you believe a pup that's born from a dog is a dog. Great. So God's fine in nature, but he's a jackass out here. Let's pin it right down and cuss him. Go on, let's mouth off and tell him we really believe in our hearts. See, I'm a rebel. I'm a rebel. I could never be tied down. Let me tell you something. This word here is powerful. It's God. And one day I'll bow if I'm out of order. One day my tongue shall confess the right thing if I'm not confessing now. Because every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Messiah, to the glory of God the Father. So don't make him any father. Don't make him any God the Son. You better watch what's in your heart and see that it lines up. So he laid the plate and showed you, Brother Branham said, the hurricane came. The hurricane judgments of God, God himself coming. God speaking out of the whirlwind. God demonstrating his great force and power of the seas out there. You know what happens when it hits the dry land? The hurricane dies. What's the dry land? You and me. Those people out there are people. And the great manifestation of God came. He went like that. But there were people who stood there. And I, yes, like me, who saw Brother Branham, and the voice within said, if you ever listen to any man, that's a man you'll listen to. Merciful heaven, what's that got to do with it? How would the voice within me, and I saw the mighty miracles, and heard the voice say, bring me 25 of your worst cases, guarantee healing for all, let them all go through the prayer line. They all went through the prayer line, maybe 1,000 or 1,200, 2,000, for all I know. Every single one was healed, not just 25. And they would be, I went away shaken from stem to stern. And I went home and dusted off the Bible, and I put it right back on the shelf. I bought a black suit, and I hung it up. But
The day came I had to put on the black suit and take the black Bible, and I'm not an Amish with a square head and a square hat. I didn't invent God. It just happened, I believe, you look better in the black suit and a dark blue suit, and that's what you should wear. And my wife liked it anyway. So I said, what's the difference? You notice I change all colors now? I'm not trying to be like Joseph. I just prefer Joseph's method. Many colors. All right. We saw the picture. Now, from Matthew 17, we see why we stand on vindication. So let's go to Matthew, let's go to Ephesians, the fourth chapter. And we begin to see this very, very clearly as we've never, perhaps never seen it before by the grace of Almighty God. And we look in here and we start at verse 11. And it says, He gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists and pastors and teachers. And Brother Branham said, the divine order is apostles and prophets and teachers and evangelists and pastors. Which he quoted the fivefold ministry, yet there are those who deny. Which is their business, that's fine. And they are to bring to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, whatever ministry it is. And there's hundreds of ministries in the Bride of Christ, and it's not just 1 Corinthians 12, that's a lot of hogwash, and it's not just here in Ephesians 1, and 4, and rather Ephesians 4 and 11, it's over there in Romans, the 12th chapter, where they're absolutely not all defined, but Irenaeus said there's hundreds of them. Every one of you is a minister of righteousness unto God. Every one of you has got a part. Woe betide those who do not do it. Now, they have the ministry to bring them to equip the saints, the edify, to build up the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, exactly who He is and why and what, unto a perfect man, a mature and finished one, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. In other words, everything that God poured into Him is now poured into the bride at the end time. Every manifestation, everything is at hand. Remember, there was just one Jesus. 12 apostles, and even Paul didn't bring one Jesus. God is on the scene today, still here. The pillar of fire still here to lead us in the millennium. That means there's got to be a resurrection. There's got to be a rapture. There's got to be a wedding supper. There's got to be the inferno, the 3.5 years tribulation. There's got to be turning to the Jews, bringing in 144,000 to sacrifice their lives. And they've still got to come up in the part of the first resurrection, because everything's in threes. At least I see it as that, and Brother Branham said it was, in threes. And God works in threes, finishes things in sevens. Then the foolish virgin, the 144,000 who are virgins, they attend the bride, so they got to be there. You say, well, that's at the end time. That's not the 1,000 years. That could be. But they're still going to be there, part of it. The groom and the bride, the 144,000. So they got a special part in there. Don't ask me all about it, because I can't tell you, but they're there. They all measure up to it. But watch what it says. That we be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive you. What's the deception? The gifts. The false anointing. Now remember what I told you. Brother Billy Paul told me. I didn't ask him. He said, Brother Bailey said, that sermon Daddy preached on the anointing was in time. I said, yep. He said, when I went out of there, he said, Billy Paul, did you know what I said? He said, Daddy, I think I do. He said, Billy, not that many knew what I was saying. Now, I knew. Because my wife and I sat with him, and he told all about who the false vine was, headed up in Oral Roberts, and he was the true vine. And we, under the true vine, are part of the branches of that true vine, which William Branham was not saying, I am true, as though I am true. He knew that he was a part of God, and God was in him. And he was that one God to the world, the prophet to us, and yet God at the same time to us, which you recognize. Because when you recognize a prophet, automatically you recognize, this is God speaking to me. You know you're under that bond. The world doesn't. Therefore, he becomes God. And when he does, he becomes a source of judgment, negative. He never comes without a left hand and a right hand. How many preachers are preaching that? How many of you resigned yourself to it, and you live upon it? Or you read a scripture, little cursing, little, oh God, where am I? Oh God, where am I? Oh God, where am I? Left hand and right hand. Which hand is he going to use? Both. But what hand is on you? And on me? Makes a difference, doesn't it? Come on. Every word has power and means something. Now listen. He said every sleight of wind. We've sown the wind. Brother Branham said this age is the perilous age. This age is the deceiving age.
Huh? And what are the winds? Deceitful winds. False doctrines. Creeds and dogmas. Is Brother Paul here saying that the end time, there is leashed upon us everything the world has ever known? Why, he's got to mean that, because this is the harvest time. No wind of doctrine which is evil ever dies until the end time. And at the end time, they're all hurricanes blasting upon us. And they're all allowed to go. And my house ain't even going to rock. Yeah, the windows aren't like in the house in that lousy dump over there. You crank them out and the wind grabs them, the crank goes this way and that way, no stability. My house ain't built that way. That's the way a certain man built it, not Lee Vale. The house I built doesn't have windows like that. You know why? Because I'm building by a blueprint of God, and God's building me. I ain't building God. A lot of people are building God. I ain't building God. God's building me, and he's building you by the grace of God. And the blueprint is there, and the blueprint ain't there. I don't care what anybody does. You're way off balance. You think you can get God in your life by whooping it up and climb the chandeliers? Listen, if I knew I'd be a better person, I would tell. I'd have a hallelujah march right now. I'd demand everyone, you start screaming. I would teach you to scream and to holler and jump up and down, and everything is great. I went through it, and it wasn't great. No, I didn't play spiritual leapfrog like my good buddy Lloyd, but I did things way worse than that. So don't feel bad, Lloyd. Don't feel bad. You're just one of millions. See? Cunningness, darkness, peril, doctrine. They lie in wait to deceive, vultures. But you holding the truth in love. And you can only hold that truth in love as I see it by the Holy Ghost who is love. Oh, how the world has fallen the same as Israel did. They said, God said, I've loved you. They said, wherein hast thou loved us? And he said, was not Esau Jacob's brother, a twin, and I loved Jacob and hated Esau? And Paul takes it right to predestination. And Paul said predestination is a thing to give you great rejoicing. But you teach predestination to the church where Brother Branham said he knew every flea who would bat his eyeball, how many times he would do it, and how many fleas to make a pound of tallow. And they said, no. Not my God. You're right, it's not your God. Walk off. Walk off. How are you going to have fellowship? Trying to persuade him? Don't be foolish. Walk off. God told you to be careful how you walked off. That's a different story, but you better know it's God in you. You cast your pearl before swine, brute beasts, turn again and rend you. Now, let's just think a little bit here in Matthew 3, Matthew 16. Then we can start reading. Whatever time we got left, it's all right. If we don't, that's fine and dandy too. I think our time has been employed here by the way the Lord wanted me to do it, so we'll just look at Matthew 16 here. And it says in here in 13 verse, and Jesus came unto them the coast of Caesarea Philippi. He asked the disciples, saying, whom do men say that I the Son of Man am? Now notice he didn't say I the Son of God, although even if he was the Son of God. He's the Son of Man, and Brother Branham said, which nobody else could say, that means prophet. He took it from the book of Ezekiel. He said, oh, I can't believe that. How could one man come along and say that? Because he's vindicated. Another man tell me not long ago, Brother Vale, I really never understood vindication till you began really preaching it. Another man stabilized. If he's vindicated, why do I worry? I got only one worry. Am I following that word? Do I believe that word right? And I don't have to hit myself in the head over it. No. If you weren't meant to believe, you're not going to get it anyway. If you do believe it, fine, that's the first step. And some of them said, you're John the Baptist, because John the Baptist had died now. And some said Elijah, some said Jeremiah, one of the prophets. Now, they believed in reincarnation. Or, they were smarter than we think. You know why? Because they saw the same Spirit of God
coming down from Elijah to Isaiah to Jeremiah and now John the Baptist. You think they really saw that? I don't believe they saw that. I don't believe they believed what they saw or thought they saw. I think there's too much like Judas here that they only believed it, thought they were believers. But I don't know. I don't. This will leave Dale talking, but I want you to notice I'm looking at these things in Scripture. Or they said one of the prophets. Well, that's pretty good because they recognized he was a prophet and they believed in their prophets. And he said, but whom do you say I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, not God, the living God, the Son, but you're the Son of that one, Jehovah Elohim, spoken of in Isaiah, you are that Son. And Jesus said, you're blessed, you're happy, you're relaxed, you're free, you've got it. You've got it. It's okay, son, it's all over. Can you believe that? Well, that's what I'm telling you. Here is that prophet, not God now, Jesus speaking by authority of what he knew and who he was and the entire representation. He said, who do you say I am? And Peter said, thou art the Son of the living God. He said, you got it, Peter. You're one with me. You got it. And he said, I'm going to tell you something, Peter. You never got that on your own. That was not a flash in the pan or something that you got that you figured out. What did he say? He said, here, my Father, which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, this is a certain play of words or drama that was in effect in the East that I don't really understand. But when Peter said that to Jesus, Jesus had to say something in return, which makes me to believe that when you really recognize God according to the Scripture and according to the prophets, because that is what is the Scripture, then God will begin to speak back to you. How can anybody say and take the one Scripture and says, well, thou shalt be as God to the people? I read you the Scripture says, thou art God. Huh? Well, come on. What have you got here, a bunch of lukewarm Christians? I fought this principle for years and years. You sit there. We better not just sit there. I got a lot of guts for an 81-year-old guy. I'll take a 4x4. I'm like Banquo's dad. He said, I'll tell your kids something. Get this plant, he said to the boys. He said, don't you ever let me or talk back to me. Even when you're an adult. Well, I'll take a 4x4 and I'll knock your head up. He said, I believe you'd have done it. I believe you'd have done it, Brother Dale. I like Banks and his daddy. Not trying to be cruel, but let's get the fact. God's not going to talk to any of you except on this ground here. He's not going to talk to me. Amen. If I'd have walked off and said, well, that silly thing within me said, listen to him. Well, he's not educated as I am. He can't pronounce his words. What do I care? I'm like William Branham and even Father Divine. We both make up words. Who cares? I speak very sloppily. Who cares? I'm not here to preach eloquently. I'm as mean as a buzzsaw. You know what I'm trying to buzz off? All this junk that's on us, the barnacles and all these things of unbelief and human endeavor and suppositions and God knows what. To get down to the truth. And as I say to thee, that's it, he says that. Thou art Peter. You're a little rock. If he's a little rock, through the revelation of God, speaking back to Peter, then who's the big rock? Well, you say the big rock is Jesus. Fine, I won't argue. I ask one question. Which Jesus? According to Paul, they had another Jesus. Peter evidently had the right Jesus. What was the right Jesus? Son of God. You're a Messiah. You're the prophet. You're that one. You are that one. Ask the question, hey, who's Elijah? Must truly come and restore before the tribulation. Who is he? Oh, Brother Bill, I just couldn't do that. I just couldn't. Certainly you couldn't. I got no problem.
Oh, I've had my problems. You don't tell me for 1 minute I'm not human and I can have screwy things come in my mind. But at the same time, I can have what the Chinese say. You cannot stop the birds from flying in the branches, but you cannot stop them flying in there, but you can stop them making a nest. Sure, I'm not perfection up here. But he said to Peter, upon this rock. Upon what rock? The revelation of exactly who is God, who is the Son. And from that, you'll find out who are the sons. And you'll find out that Jesus isn't God. And the only time he's God is when God indwelt him. And William Branham isn't God except when God indwelt him. And Paul wasn't God except when God indwelt him. And Moses wasn't God except when God indwelt him. And he stood there at the time of the crossing over to the promised land. And he said, there's a great valley in here. One is Mount Abel and one is Mount Gerizim. Now, you people here, you get on Mount Gerizim and you get on Mount Abel. The cursing will come from Mount Abel and the blessing from Mount Gerizim. So God came with two hands. According to 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter, with two hands. And he pronounced glorification for his own and he pronounced death for the others and showed the whole picture of what's going on in 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, which follows the first chapter, which shouldn't even be chapterized. Just follow the whole thing through. Huh? Right from glorification to antichrist and destruction. Okay. So he says here, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The wind shall not prevail. Nothing shall prevail. Let the winds try to rock it. It's built upon a solid foundation. But those who have not got the revelation. And what was the revelation of the end time? There is one God, and you must be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they didn't have it right. And they still don't have it right. It's my job not to worry. It's their job. So we've seen the Omega today under the seven seals. There is one God. And he's not Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is not in the comatose situation. Jesus Christ is not lying prone. He is not even on the mercy seat right now. He is on the throne waiting for God to bring up the bride. Miserable, wretched church of Laodiceans, I stand at the door and knock, says Elohim, Jehovah Elohim. And if any man, one man, anyone, he doesn't designate William Branham, George Brown, this guy and the other fellow, some Smith and some God knows what. Now, he didn't know. He's any man. The man that opens, I'll come and sup with him. Sit down face to face, even apparently. Oh, that means all of us, hallelujah. And you see, Brother Dale, even that great painter made a wonderful picture, and there was no knob on the door. And the fellow said, where's the knob on the door? And the painter said, well, you see, the knob's on the inside. You've got to open it. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. All over the door. Well, in a sense, that's true. But not in the revelation. That's William Branham. Oh, Brother Bill, those are terrible things you say. Oh, that's good. That's fine. You don't understand the first thing about what's going on there. And honest to God, I don't as I should. Probably going to keep preaching until one day it hits. Until I become the screaming maniac they want me to be. And it'll be a good maniac this time. Amen. And I'll swing to the chandeliers. And I'll go bouncing in the fiery chariot. At least I hope so. So we see the Omega, Paul's Alpha, to the first age church, Ephesians, which repeats today. And over in Ephesians, the fifth chapter. And in the sixth verse, it says, let no man deceive you with vain words. Words that are vain, words that won't come to pass. Millions now living will never die. Oh, who needs a prophet? We got Jesus Christ. What's all this junk about no Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? You sign the creed, you're going to make it. You make it with us. I don't want to make it with them. My Bible tells me where they're going. Phew, brother. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. He said, get out from among them, have nothing to do with them. And you can't have anything to do with them unless you subscribe to what they believe. And you can't have a thing to do with God unless you subscribe to what he says. Tit for tat. You kill my dog, I'll kill your cat. Huh? Even nursery rhymes have it down pat. And humans go by with their so-called intelligence, and they haven't got an ounce. You think I'm kidding? Why did he say to Israel, fill up the cup? This generation get it. Why does he say in Revelation, fill up the cup? I'm going to give her double what she gave. And double goes to the exponential. If they've taken the Lord's Supper and made it a debacle of people taking it in nudity, filth, exponential rot, then you think God is not exponential in his judgment? Huh? You think he's not? And you think these people aren't rotten? They're going to gnaw their tongues in pain and curse God. And in the second resurrection, they're going to come back and try to overthrow the holy encampment and take God over. Who do you think you're dealing with? And who do you think we're dealing with? Yeah. Children of disobedience. Not disobedient children now. Children of disobedience. Children of the creeds and dogmas, the seed of discrepancy. The children of the devil. God never had children by intercourse. No, neither does the devil. God took two human vessels, Adam and Eve, to have children. So God destroyed one woman and took an animal. And he got his children. Isn't that simple? Huh? Shall I repeat it? Show me where the devil had intercourse. Show me where God did. God didn't. The light that came out of him was Jesus. That same light was put into Adam, making him living soul, which was that part of God, which is that light, which he put in human vessels to propagate. Never mind this male and female stuff. There's neither male nor female in Christ. There's neither male nor female in Christ. Then Jesus Christ must have changed somehow in the beginning, because if there's neither male nor female in him now, there never was in the beginning. Huh? Alpha and Omega. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Use the principle. What did the devil do? Took one of the children of God, the woman. Took an animal. Here's his children. And what did the scientists say? 99.99%. Which is not really true. It's much worse than that. All serpent seed. Now, right now, you should be running around the church and be hanging on the rafters. And we're criticized all the time because we sit here. I would sooner sit here in holy awe with my mouth shut until the well springs begin to come up in reality of the true word of God of inspiration than to be lifted to God. What is the true flow of praise? From the passive faith now gone into the active. Why can the people sing, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty? Early in the morning my song shall rise to thee. Holy, holy, holy. You know why? Because something in there, the well springs, is worshiping the day spring from on high. And there's a real worship toward Almighty God that turns every heart to dust and every mouth bereft of words. And at that time there could come forth a speaking of tongues in praise, because there's nothing in us, any words that could do justice. I'm quoting Brother Branham. He said, yes, if you're full of the Holy Ghost, one day you will speak in tongues. And we were taught to speak in tongues as some evidence of the Holy Ghost. We got it all backwards. I'm not against manifestation. I just want to be one with the Word if I can possibly do it. And remember, the same chapter that prophesies, the very same fifth chapter prophesies at the end, warning you, everything is going to be turned loose on you. Your mind is going to be barraged by all of these things. Your reasoning is going to be hit. Turn it all over to God. Don't be a part of the children of disobedience, because that's what they love. They just love that. But you, there was sometime darkness, now you're light. Walk as though children light, not disobedience to the word. And he tells the fruit is goodness and righteousness, and proving what's acceptable. No fellowship with unfruitful works. Reprove them. Boy, do I get in the head for reproving it. If I get kicked in the teeth, what about you? It's a shame to speak of those things done by them in secret and so on. But look at verse 25. Husband, love your wives. Husband, love your wives. Wives, stand. Husband, stand by your wives. This is the true picture of Jesus that Paul's talking about, the mystery of marriage. Jesus said, I am your husband physically. I'm standing by you. I will never leave you. No, I can't do it. Because, you see, you stand by me. You are obedient wives. If I say, let your hair grow long, you let it grow long. Now, let me tell you something. Samson had to let his hair grow long, too. He said to the men, you've got a Nazarite vow to me. Don't touch any other women. Don't you let creeds and dogmas come in your house. You stand up as men. Don't look at me and say, well, my woman does this and my woman does that. And people in the church start talking. It's about time this church began to talk the right things and build each other up. Don't get on those phones and tear people apart if you're doing it. I get my phone calls and sound like I tear people. I'm standing with this word, brother and sister. When I get hit for one thing, this word. And I'm always criticized. Lee Dale's got head knowledge. That's all he's got is head knowledge. Is that a fact? Do you want me to play upon you like a conductor does according to music? Do you want me to play upon you to divert what I'm doing, blunt talk, and play upon you with beautiful language until they get you all going my way, swaying in the breeze? You think it can't be done? You are sick spiritually because this is what Paul is talking of, the wind of doctrine. I breathe for you. I think for you, and you fall like tin pins. Oh, I'm glad you're rebels with me, brother. I can't stand that junk and nonsense. Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Have the husbands given themselves for the wives? Oh, no, they're convenience. They'll run with other women. They won't pay attention to them. You tell me one concern Jesus Christ has outside of the bride. Come on, anybody, please, will you stand up and tell me? I got a strong concordance back there, every word. How many people got computers? That's good. You got computers? Can you look up how many times? Huh? Come on, tell me. Please tell me. We say, well, Brother Bill, he's concerned concerning the will of the Father. Oh, no, he ain't, because the Father is greater than he. Ha! Huh. He's concerned about the Father's will in him for us. Didn't Brother Branham say everything God was, he poured into Christ, literally indwelled him, and everything Christ is, he indwelt the church? So at the end time, you see, the very God Almighty that was in Christ, in the new body, which is Christ's body, huh? For his life. And who's doing it? The prophet's doing it, so the body's doing it. Or are we like Flip Wilson? The devil made me do it. You punch somebody in the nose, you get mad. Oh, the devil made me do it. No, the devil didn't make it. You did it. What do you want to blame the devil for? Same bunch of goofs blame God for everything, too. Yeah. What? That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. The washing of water through the Holy Spirit by the word. And there's no Holy Spirit washing and cleansing or anything else in life imparting apart from the word because the word's a conduit. And when you take the conduit full of the Holy Ghost into you, piling word upon word, that's where you get the full stature and the full baptism, the full filling. Those tongues got to do with it. That he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle, or any such thing, that it might be holy and without blemish. Now, when you're talking about this, you're talking about God himself. Because this is the presentation to himself, and only God can actually do that. As Brother Branham said, when that spirit in him becomes incarnate to us, we're calling him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That will be the Son of Man, the Son of David, the Son of God, the Rose of Sharon, the altogether lovely, everyone. So men ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. What does that mean? You stand up for your wife? Because is Jesus, the bride's the body? So that woman is the body of that man, because that woman, without her, there is no reproduction. And she's a part of us by the grace of Almighty God. A true marriage that you waited for, don't give in to lust and passion, brother, sister.
marry someone you shouldn't marry. You can control yourself. You can watch yourself. You can have your dirty thoughts in your girly magazines, which most kids do because they're just human beings, little bunkers like everybody else. But don't go for the woman. Until you know that's the one. And as you stand by her, she'll start standing by you. And you'll have a real marriage just made in heaven because it's exactly what Christ and the bride is. Now, I've told you the mystery, as I have seen so far and so much. If I get more, I'll tell you. But that is the picture. Now, you can, what time have we got left? 5 minutes? Okay, that is exactly why we read, and we'll start over again. Notice in page 22, and Brother Branham said, notice they were being gathered together for the burning. Did you notice Jesus at first gathered them together and bundled them, put them in one pile, and I'll burn them. That's Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, Lutheran piles, little bundles rather. They're all gathering in the World Council of Churches. What is it? Gather them first. Hallelujah. If they're gathered first, then before we have anything, we won't get out of here until this is done. Did you notice he gathers them first, gets them away from the wheat, separates them, gather them together, they're to be burned with the judgment of God. Now, who's saying this? Brother Branham is saying this. So who is he God to? He's God to these people that are being judged. Here's your pharaohs, here's your pastor pharaohs, here's your Ahabs and the whole bunch of them. They'll be burned for sowing discrepancy among the people. Who's he blaming? The fivefold ministry. Their fivefold ministry. Having a form of godliness, denying the power of the word. So the form of godlessness is what? Ends in denying the power of the word. So they've got everything but the word. It's not word. It's in the word they're talking about, but they don't have it. Why? They turned it down. See? Just hold some religious rites of some dogmas and somebody injected in them, trying to put in the word of God. These things, try to make it match, swig it around while we talk in tongues. That's the way it's got to be. We cast out devils. That's the way it sure is. What about these people? Did they think themselves, they call themselves 100% Christians? And they do have these gifts and things operating. And yet you can read books where a certain man who has no respect for God at all, doesn't believe in Jesus Christ, born of a virgin, doesn't believe what we believe whatsoever, and you phone him up and he can help you and cure you of great diseases. And you know why he can? Though he's a devil, you think he's God. And Brother Branham said, you can go to the witch doctor and get healed because they go thinking it's God. Not that the man is God, but it's of God. Huh? Well, I think maybe this is one of the sourest times I've ever preached. I don't have time to get you off the hook, but you never were on the hook. No, the voice of the prophet in the ministries to the bride. But the voice of the prophet took the whole world in judgment, bypassed the bride, saying, it's okay. You're in the cleft of the rock. Well, that's where we start next week, if we ever start again. I'm not sorry about that, except I hate the thought we just keep on moving and moving without moving down the road. Let's rise and be dismissed. Again, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence in this world today. And above all, we thank you, Lord, for your presence through the baptism with the Holy Ghost, that little modicum of yourself that came to join our spirits back to you, our souls back to you, which were in him, even the Lord Jesus Christ, our blessed Redeemer, according to the flesh. And so we praise thee and thank you for all of these things. And may your grace abide in us, and may our minds remain fruitful and our lips extra fruitful, because we say those things that the prophet said, knowing where they are and what they are and how they stay in that certain position and what they perform, all of this being the threads and the warp and woof of life, and it all coming forward. And here we are at the end time with revelation and abundance in these things. Now, Lord, help us, we pray, to receive in the spirit of meekness and in love and a genuine saturation of the word of Almighty God as you gave it, intended it to be, and must be in a bride. Lord, that's all we desire. Healing in these things we thank you for, and we appreciate what you're doing for us. But this is what we want above everything in the world, knowing that one day we're all going to be gone. It can't be too long. It cannot be, though we know Brother Branham said 100 years. Maybe it is, Lord, I know that. But we believe this is that message. This is that word. This is you, Lord, that came down in our here, Jehovah Elohim, to raise the dead now, having brought forth the message, bringing all things in order, and the rest of the order coming up, and the resurrection, and the changing of the bride, caught away in the rapture,
and then the cleansing to bring us down here again, rejoicing in the millennium, and those things which are a part of now, going on now to the seventh seal. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power, honor, and glory through Jesus Christ, our blessed Savior. Amen and amen. Take the name of